Today I want to talk about a topic that arose in a conversation with Venus Williams the other day. When the idea came to me, I thought, I need to develop this as an idea and speak about it on a Sunday. And it is your job. Your job is what and why, not your job, how and when. You know, free will means that you and I can be and do and have and say and not say and not be and not do, not have. We can think and not think and so on. We can do anything or not anything that we want. Now, there are some people who think there's no such thing as free will, that what we do, that is all human activity, is simply what we've been trained to do, we've been conditioned to do. It's a function of our conditioning. I actually listened to a TED talk, and that was one of the ideas. There is no such thing as free will. In other words, we behave as we've been trained to behave. Well, I don't know. Maybe that point is accurate if we expand the concept to say this. We act within the structure of our consciousness. Then if you say, well, I want to do something that's completely outside of my consciousness, it is not likely that that's going to happen. I could buy that point of view. I could say that I used my free will the other night to go to an ice cream parlor. I could also say I've been conditioned to like ice cream. So ice cream is a real clear concept in my consciousness, so one that I like to bond with. But it seems easy enough to say, I was trained that way. I have made associations, so ice cream to me carries a whole energy field that is positive. I used to play golf on a regular basis, and I refer to golf as a game of distance and direction, distance and direction. Consciously, the golfer decides what distance he or she wants to hit the golf ball and what direction he or she wants to hit it. Simple game, right? Just hit the golf ball certain distances and certain directions until the ball goes into the hole. Count the number of hits, and you have your golf score. The best players in the world, the ones we watch on TV, both men and women, are the ones who require the smallest number of hits, called strokes, to do this for 18 holes on a golf course. And those golf courses tend to be complicated, difficult, and long. So the main job of a golfer is to decide what distance and what direction and what golf club to use in order to achieve that distance and direction. And people spend gazillions of hours and gazillions of dollars trying to become effective at that. But the underlying concepts of what is pretty simple. Your main job, my main job, is to decide what. What. And almost invariably, what is a goal that you and I have established, or it's a step in the direction of a goal that we have established. The what is something we want. Now, if the what is something that we don't want, and we put ourselves at risk by focusing our attention on that, because we realize at this point, our focus, our attention is causative. So whatever what we focus on, we're likely to get it. And the more we can raise our vibration as we put our attention on that what, the better we're going to be. Now, in golf, it's pretty defined what the what is. But for you and I, the process of deciding what we want, maybe that sounds simple, too. You know, we've got simple needs, right? Survival, freedom, usefulness, love, identity, the need to be right, the need to look good and get approval. Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and we need food and shelter and warmth and connection, and all of that is cool. But too often we will notice a condition that is not desirable. You know, I don't like that. You know, this doesn't make me feel good. Oh, this is I don't want this. But we can end up accepting it as inevitable. The only things that are inevitable are those things that we accept. If we don't accept them, we keep reaching for something new, something better, something improved. Inevitability is a function of our acceptance. I like the idea of divine intention. That's one of the gazillion reasons I like Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Divine intention. You know, we could say something is going on that maybe we can't see, we can't perceive with our five senses. You know, something's going on below the surface of our awareness. I want to know what that is. I think it's divine intention. So this divine intention says that we could align with divine intention, this underlying currents that are happening. We take and create and align our watts with what's happening divinely. And it's like, wow, wouldn't the manifestation of what we want become easier and more elegant, less ego-driven and less human willpower created? I think so. If we want certain things that fall into the same thing that divine consciousness is seeking to provide to us, the how seems to me to be already provided. Hey, divine consciousness has already got the how down. That's what it's trying to do. It's not trying to make us figure out the how as much as helping us to align with the how. It's like, oh. So if we see what we want, and we look at our goals, and we look at our career, and we look at our aspirations on every level through the filters of growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and a system of spiritual law and order, it's like, you know what? That can reduce the stress of us. I got to figure out how. No. The divine has already provided those currents. We are naturally moving in those directions if we allow it, if we align with it, if we don't interfere with it. That wind, rhythm. There are certain rhythms which really are a function of time in most cases, right? Seasonality, the other day was the beginning of summer in this hemisphere. And it'll be warm weather now, and then the fall will occur, and then winter will occur, and then spring will occur. These natural rhythms are happening. We can notice them, but we don't have to control them. That removes a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress from this. As we put our attention on what we want, and I think that's actually a continual refining process. You know, what you want as a 5-year-old and what you want as a 10-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old are not necessarily the same things. But as we put our attention on what we want, and at the same time we raise our vibrations, as we bond with the image of what we want, I think we have, and evidence shows, we have effectively set causation in motion, because consciousness is going to respond to our intention. Consciousness is going to start to take the shape of what we've imaged and emotionalized. As we become vibrationally equal to what we want, and I think that's a key requirement, become vibrationally equal. If we're not equal to it, it's hard to occupy the same space as it, right? I mean, that seems kind of intuitive. As we become vibrationally equal to what we want, asking divine help, asking the divine for help, is a very wise move, because that helps us to align vibrationally. I think what we really want, is to understand and experience our source of being. If we could understand our source of being, we would have a greater awareness, a greater understanding of these underlying currents that are moving to us and through us. The goal gets closer to achievement each time we communicate with our source. every time we speak to our God, every time we put our attention on divine consciousness, we get closer to achieving our goals. Just the thought of being vibrationally equal to our source of being is enough to flood our bodies with joy. And I guess on a chemical level, we'd be looking for endorphins and oxytocin and other things. But putting our attention on our connection with our source is and will result in what we want. You know, the reasons we do what we do and the reasons we want what we want, they're kind of like the fuel that powers us and powers our actions, powers any kind of thing that we want to do. And it also will power the direction that we go in. So in terms of direction and distance, our reasons why are very powerful. We already know now that if our whys are ego-driven, it can be very powerful. It's a very powerful fuel because we can see people do unbelievable things from ego, you know, things that I wouldn't be able to do that. My fill in the blank would prevent me from behaving like that. But when we're driven by an ego-driven why, we're going to discover that ultimately going that way is not going to be satisfying. It may temporarily give us some sort of sense of relief, but ultimately we're going to find that satisfaction is insufficient. That didn't work. Because the law of cause and effect, and I just read again this morning, is undeviating. I like that. The law of cause and effect. It governs existence. Having a why based on brotherly love, that's far more effective because it's going to be, if there's a harvest for sowing seeds of brotherly love, you can, let's see, what could that be? Oh, brotherly love, consideration, kindness from other people, and kindness from ourselves to ourselves. The chances of brotherly love as an expression and the why behind our actions, it's going to be producing a much more fulfilling life than an ego-driven why. I think we can say our what and why, based on love, abundance, divine intention, sharing, will all keep us out of stress. And when we're out of stress, guess what? We stay more open to possibilities. Those possibilities, the ones that I believe are promised in the truth of existence, in letter one of Christ Returns, reveal startling truth, right? And when Jesus is out in the desert and he really gets the idea, he perceives what God really is like, not this man with a bad attitude, punitive, judgmental, preferential to some, and hateful to others. You're like, that's not it. That's false. That's been a myth. You're like, oh. If we can stay open to the possibilities that he discovered, that is so much better. And the only way to stay open is to stay out of stress. Stress automatically will close us down physiologically, emotionally, mentally, and then we block this divine flow spiritually. I asked myself the question. I was thinking the other day, a client said to me, he didn't know the point of life. What's the point? He didn't get the point of life. And so many activities that he was faced with, the want-tos, the have-tos, the chores, the work responsibilities and so on, he didn't get the point. I don't get the point of that. And so it was really difficult for him to take action. He couldn't find the why. Couldn't find the why. And I thought, is it possible that our job is to act like God? Wouldn't it be nice if Christians acted like Christ instead of acting like Pharisees or worse? And so if letter one is an accurate depiction of what God is like, what the nature of divine consciousness is like. Like, oh, I get it. But not everybody has seen the letters. Not everybody subscribes to these points of view. So the question is, what is God like? And I think this is something we have to decide for ourselves. Is it like your biological father, your biological mother? Is it like the school principal? Is it like the police officer? Is it like you've got to decide what God is like for yourself. And I think we need to decide, what is God doing? What is God doing? And this is a real challenge for a lot of people, because they ascribe a lot of different things to God that some of us would say, well, that's not right. That doesn't seem to be a fair attribution of cause. I don't think we can say God did that. But if we knew what God is doing and this divine intention and divine consciousness is doing, like, oh, well, now that I have a better understanding of that, I'm going to try to act similarly. So I think it really requires people to be willing to question, how could we know what God is like? What opinions do we have about God and God's behaviors? And for people who have religious upbringing, it's pretty clear where a lot of this information is coming from. Been passed down for years and years and years, passed down. Maybe no revision, no updating, no improvement of the consciousness. So we have the Jewish Bible, that's the Old Testament. And we have the Christian Bible, that's the New Testament. And we have other holy books that depict God in various ways. We have channeled information from numerous sources, one of which is Christ Returns. We have common sense. We have the powers of observation. We have imagination. And we have the ability and the responsibility and the right to think for ourselves, to reach out in thought and feeling. It's like, oh, no, I'm not allowed to. I just have to memorize what somebody told me to memorize. That's sad. It's hard to know new stuff if that's what we limit ourselves to. I think one of the main problems from, and this is it, like an obstacle to us knowing and doing our jobs and knowing what God is seeking to do, is our lack of understanding of cause and effect. Cause and effect. I find it surprising that those concepts, cause and effect, seem unknown to so many people. And we listen to other people describe cause and effect, not in those terms, because that would make us question. For instance, do you know what caused the airplanes to crash into the World Trade Center building in New York on September 11th, 2001? What caused it? According to some people in the Midwest, I remember reading these in articles, it was God's doing. You know why? Because God wanted to punish New Yorkers for their sins. So the cause was New Yorkers' sin, and the effect was God punishing them by making jet planes crash into the World Trade Centers. It's like, whoa, wow. That seems a little unusual, doesn't it? I can recall watching TV as a kid and laughing at the great comedian Flip Wilson. One of his characters repeatedly said, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." We'd laugh and laugh every time he came out with that line. But years later, weird people are rejoicing that God was punishing New Yorkers. God did it. Like, most people in the world were not laughing. Who hasn't heard this expression? God called him or her to his side to explain the cause of a person's death. God did it. Not the individual. Not that individual through numerous choices that were life-destroying, life-damaging. No, that's not what. That wasn't the cause. God called them to his side. It's like, were on puppet strings, and he must have pulled that string and pulled that person up for, what, judgment? To welcome to heaven? To, whoops, cut the string and drop him into hell? I don't know. I don't know. That thought process strikes me as kind of challenged. You know this as a fact, too. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, floods, tornadoes are considered, for insurance purposes, acts of God. Really? Really? They're caused by God just, what, just for the hell of it? I think I just caused a tsunami today. I'm kind of bored. Or, like, I need to punish a lot of people. It seems unbelievable that human beings see no causation in their behaviors. No. Human beings didn't play any part in these climactic disasters. Nope. We have no responsibility for them whatsoever. These watts are completely outside of our control. I don't know. Maybe these questions about what bring a dangerous what to light. People who believe their main what is to be obedient to a mythical god of enormous power and volatility. Like, oh, he likes some people, he doesn't like others. He's going to visit a plague on them and punish them. And those people also seem to be committed to avoiding responsibility for their part and causing the problems, right, in their lives or the lives of others. So at some point they think they're going to be able to stand somewhere and being judged. I was obedient. I didn't do it. It's like, obedient to what? To man-made laws and rules and rituals and other nonsense? And while at the meantime, you know, displaying all the worst attributes of ego drives, criticizing and denigrating and harming other people and the animals and living beings and the earth? You had no part to play in that? To back up. For me, the information in Christ's Returns reveals startling truth, makes it really clear what divine consciousness is doing. And it doesn't really take that long to consider those ideas that Christ became aware of in the desert, like about the nature of God, to really, now that I read that, now that I understand it a little bit, now that I consider it a little, we're evidence of that divine love. We're evidence of the working of divine consciousness. And when we look at ourselves, it's obvious, but when we look around us at plants and animals and friends and neighbors and families and children and so on, it's like, it's everywhere. It's everywhere if we're willing to look and see it. Our what is, to me, directly connected to what divine consciousness is providing for. Providing for our growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, all within a system of spiritual law and order. Our job, our what, is to align with it instead of interfere with it. And rhythm, which I just left out, is really the main factor of when. And it is not our job. We certainly can notice it. A pregnant woman is going to deliver a baby about 9 months later. That's a natural rhythm of growth and development of a human baby in the womb of a woman. We don't have to cause that. We don't have to control that. That rhythm, that sequence, that timing is natural. It's already been designed. When I see people who induce labor because they have a social event or want to go on vacation or something, I think, wow, yeah, that may be convenient for the doctor. I'm going on vacation. You better have your baby on this day because I'll be gone. Or the mother who feels that way as well. Like, I don't messing around with the when, I don't think that's such a good idea. When you consider that divine consciousness is working for us and in us to provide those items, right, the growth, nutrition, and nourishment and so on, if you think about that, even for 60 seconds, it becomes obvious to most of us. And when you look at, and you know what? I think the divine is working through us, yeah. Doesn't it seem completely logical that as that happens, we would be using this divine energy flow that's coming to us and through us, supporting us in those ways to support other people, to facilitate other people's experience of growth, nutrition, nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, with rhythm, in a system of spiritual law and order? Wouldn't we be doing the same thing in other people's lives? Doesn't that sound like a great what? I want to build a career. Well, there it is. That little bit of information that I just spoke, that's the career that we ought to be involved in. Providing one or more of those items to other people to improve the quality of their lives, to reduce suffering in living beings. There. And you look at where your passion is, where your talent is, and the what becomes even clearer. And know full well that we've got this divine partner supplying all the energy necessary to achieve enormous levels of success and happiness and prosperity and joy in those areas. All we have to do is decide on distance and direction. Like, wow, how cool is that? We talk about energy. Everything is energy. Energy is everything. Consciousness is everything. Everything is consciousness. God is everywhere. God is everything. I think so. But when we think of it, the energy that we acquire, we take in, we draw in, by breathing, by thinking, by looking, by eating, all the energy that we take in, that we acquire, then we protect, we defend from others, we translate in our unique way, we express in our unique way, and we release what we can't use. Like, oh yeah. All that energy comes from the divine. All of it comes from the divine. It is our source. Now, we can change its frequency of vibration, and we do. Ideally, we will change it so that it elevates our consciousness, and then we express it. That's the ideal scene. But we do need to recognize that it originated from source. It didn't originate with us. Our job, our what, is to reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness and ask for enlightenment. That means answer to a question, solution to a problem, greater insight regarding a situation. We ask for enlightenment. Our job is to seek to know and experience divine consciousness. You ought to know this already. There is no growth without reaching. We reach out. And if we continue to reach out, we will grow. And if we reach out, our growth is assured. It's when we refuse to reach, we're denying our what. If we realize that we've drawn our being, we have drawn our being from divine consciousness, we would also understand that we can express God in our lives. We can express God. We drew our being from divine consciousness, and we do it every single moment of every single day. That gives us what we need in order to express God in our lives for the benefit of ourselves and for other people's happiness as well. I would would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter A in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.